You're switched on to Top of the Lups, the groovy show that comes to you live from our JB studio. And here for the first time since last week is the new Fave Rave trio, consisting of QA Chief Brent Gerba, Tech Savant Wes Payne, and host with the most Chris Fisher, known collectively and rightly as Linux Unplugged.
Hello, friends, and top of the morning to you. My name is Chris.
My name is Wes.
And my name is Brent.
Hello, gentlemen. Coming up on the show this week, we're going to look at a few simple ways to move files off of your Linux system. And one of them so simple, it might just bake your noodle. Plus a clever tool to serve audio files up of any kind from an existing folder structure you already got. You'd be really impressed by this one. And then we're going to take a live crack at updating the old Arch server. See how it goes. It's been a long, long time since we've done one of those. And our promise is to do them live, so that's coming up in a bit. Then we'll round it out with some great boosts, picks, and more. So let's say good morning to our handsome mumble room. Hello, Virtual Lug. Time-appropriate greetings.
Hello, Brent.
Wow, it's really filled up since we went live in there. Pretty good. We got a good showing up there in quiet listening, too.
Nice to have you.
Getting that low-latency Opus audio stream on a Sunday over at jblive.tv. Also, good morning to our friends over at Tailscale, tailscale.com/Linux Unplugged. Go try it for free on 100 devices and support the show at tailscale.com/Linux Unplugged. Tailscale is the easiest way to connect two of your machines directly together wherever they are in the world. And they have it for ARM, they have it for Intel, they got it for your Windows, your Mac, your Linux, they got it for your mobile devices, they got it for all kinds of things, like even VS Code. I have my home assistant on Tailscale. It's very intuitive. It's easy to get set up. And if you're an enterprise, you can replace clunky, old, expensive systems with an easy-to-deploy, easy-to-integrate with your existing authentication system, no-fuss VPN. And it's all protected by
WireGuard.
There it is. And it's fast, too. It's like really, really fast. I'm using it for everything when we're on the road or when we're in the studio. Even the systems in the studio connect over Tailscale. So that way the nodes can always talk regardless of where they go physically. Go say good morning, try it out for free on 100 devices, and support the show at tailscale.com/Linux Unplugged. Now, Wes and I are about to hit the road. We're going to, well, not the road so much as the air. We're going to go to Denver for Red Hat Summit next week. So if you're going to be at Red Hat Summit, come say hi. We don't have any formal meetup plans or anything like that, really, because there's just so much going on right now. But if you're at Red Hat Summit or in the area, maybe we'll try, I don't know, we'll try to track you down or track us down or something.
And we'll be, you know, we'll also be at the event, so if you're there.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's going to be the easiest, really. Brent, you're going to be in Berlin kind of partying up with much more official plans than what Wes and I are scraping together.
It's true, yeah. May 11th, Saturday, 6:30 p.m., we've got a meetup set up. And that's 6:30 p.m. local time. Some people always get confused because meetup.com doesn't really understand time zones. So that's 6:30 Berlin time. So if you want to come join us, a good way to get in contact is to join the Matrix room, Berlin Buds, and you can get connected there, linuxunplugged.com/matrix.
There you go, meetup.com/JupiterBroadcasting. For the meetup, and of course we have it in our Matrix space. And then just one other bit of biz we wanted to let you know is the Linux Fest Northwest 2024 videos are getting posted on YouTube. So if you couldn't make it, but you'd like to see some of the talks, those are getting posted, I think. Maybe all of them are now. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes.
Pretty quick turnaround, all things considered.
Now, we also want to put a question out to the audience. There's been a lot going on in the Nix community recently. So we'd like you to boost in if you'd like us to cover it for you. It's generally not the type of stuff we do talk about on the show, but we've had some requests, but we also have some hesitations. I think our approach would probably be fairly concise, a matter of the fact, but boost in and let us know if you'd like us to recap what's been going on in Nix land over there. I think it's probably, I don't know, I think it's probably something that the show could touch on, but we really want to get a sense of what the audience is looking for. All right, Wes Payne.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Are you ready, sir? It has been, we estimate, what, since November?
Yeah, what is that, 6 months?
Since November of last year, since we last did an update. And everybody knows Arch works best when you go months between updates. And this is our one last Arch server in production. It's the little Arch server that could. The box is like a decade old.
Used to be FreeNAS.
Yeah, the install of Arch, we figure from best we can tell, is probably from 2019 December.
So, all right.
So it's a pretty
long
one.
I think that's a grandpa in arch terms.
Right? Right? I mean, that's decent. It's not the craziest arch system you're going to hear of, but it's in the league of long-running arch systems. And everyone tells us you cannot use a rolling distro as a server. So for years, in production, a box we use every single day, we have been running Arch to try to bust that myth. And the way we try to stay accountable is we try to do updates live right here on the show. If it breaks, there's just no hiding it. And, you know, it has broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
But over the years, we've gotten worse and worse about upgrading on time just because it's now one of many systems. It's the only Arch system of those now. And so it's easy to neglect. And we are one disk down. We have about 100 gigabytes free total on the system. And we think it should go okay. But we want to do it live right here because if anything goes wrong, we're going to document it. That you're going to witness the consequences of running a rolling server. So, West Payne, what are we looking at over there?
That's a long list. Okay, 480 packages will be involved here. Total download size is 277 megs. Total installed size is 5 gigs. And the net upgrade size is negative 600 megs.
I love Arch so much.
It's so great.
Proceed with installation?
Let's go for it, Wes. Let's go for it. All right, the installation's moving right along, and it looks like you're at a critical stage right now. Maybe the most critical as far as we're concerned.
Okay, well, we've done all the main updates, but it's time to update CFS.
And we do this through the AUR.
That is right.
And you're, for the sake of doing this on the air, we're going to skip the AUR except for this one package.
Yeah, we're currently on 2.2.0, and we're going to 2.2.4.
The part that always sketches me out here is that you need to build this for the kernel that we're booting into, not the kernel we're currently running.
Yeah, well, that's where the, some of that InRamFS comes up. And the build system being smart enough to figure out, like, these are the kernels you have installed. Let me build this module for all of them.
It's
or
still,
for the one you specify.
For those of us that have built our own systems back in the day and whatnot, it still just leaves me a little, this is where I get a little sketched out. And, of course, then we can't start any of the containers because the containers live on ZFS. And all the data lives on ZFS.
So the whole system's on ZFS, really.
Yeah, except for the boot, right? So the system will boot. But then it creates empty directories when it tries to start the containers, and the containers are all missing their data, and they come up like they're brand new applications. And then you got to clean all that up. So that's where we're at. All right, Wes Payne, good luck. All right, it looks like DKMS has done the right thing, Wes Payne.
It did indeed. We're moving on from kernel 6.1 to kernel 6.6, upgrading our LTS kernel. And reboot in progress. We'll see how it goes.
We'll have
new ZFS, new kernel, whole bunch of other stuff, new dbus, something or other.
Some big jumps. Those are big jumps. Okay. This is the part where I always get a little nervous because the box takes longer to reboot than I'd like. So I've got a ping going over here, and it currently is destination host unreachable. So we're just going to not panic.
Totally fine.
And
totally fine.
Reflect on the fact that I don't know how great the backups are, and then I'm not going to go into the spiral of asking myself why I didn't do a backup just before we did this.
Nope. I sort of assumed you did.
Not really.
Hey, yeah, you know me better than that. This system, though, we actually took a break during the build time and reflected on some previous clips. This system was one of those boxes that started life as a free NAS, then lived a short period of time as a Fedora system, and then in the rush of the night, apparently starting at 3 p.m. Saturday until midnight, we converted this thing into an Arch system in December of 2019. And then the next morning, we announced what we were doing. And since then, since December 10th, we have been doing every single update. December 10th of 2019, we've been doing every single update live on the show. And this is always the moment that gets me the most stressed out. You know what I mean? Like, this is the moment. If it doesn't work.
Yeah, I have to go into the garage. Oh, no.
Oh, come on. Oh, I got a no route to host. It changed. And this is also the time I always think, why don't we have PyKVM or something on this thing?
Yeah, for sure.
This thing's a total candidate for PyKVM. Okay.
We just gotta wait. There's no...
I know.
Or send a runner.
I have been copying the data off of it just because the disks are getting so old.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Have we had live failures on this box before doing an update?
Yeah. Yeah, not many. And I think we've ironed most of them out. At first, we had edge cases we had to figure out. Oh.
Oh.
Okay, we got a ping. We got a ping.
That's something.
That's a good sign.
I think we got a new kernel anyway.
Yep. We don't know if we have applications. We don't know if we have file system yet.
Those containers take a bit to start.
Yeah.
Does ZFS load?
But man, at least we've got a kernel. We're probably going to get SSH here in just a moment.
Hey, yeah. Okay, I'm in. Oh, I see Levi.
All right. ZFS is there. All right, Wes Payne. You're in. You've got an SSH. You got a shell. Are the applications starting?
Next cloud up for 41 seconds. So far, so good.
Hey, good job, Wes. All right, now I'm going to check the application right here, but I think we consider that a win. After insane negligence...
She lives!
She lives! Ladies and gentlemen, don't let them tell you you can't run an Arch server in production, even if you don't treat it right. We'll check back in the post-show and see if she is still ticking right along for sure, but early indications are good. Collide.com/unplug. Head on over there and check them out. It's a great way to support the show. You've probably heard me talk about Collide before because I wish I had this tool when I was in IT. It puts end users first while keeping your data and your app secure. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but recently they were acquired by 1Password, and it's a pretty big deal because both of them have been end-user focused from the beginning. But now we're a couple of months into it, and we're starting to see Collide emerge as the central pillar of 1Password's extended access management. These two companies together, I think, are going to be like peanut butter and jam because end-users often get frustrated when they're told, oh, your computer needs to be updated, you don't have the right software, you're not compliant. Collide delivers them solutions that are understandable in the messaging system you already use. If you've got Okta, you've got to check out Collide. It's a great time, and it comes with a library of pre-built device posture checks, or these can be especially useful at certain times. You can write your own custom checks for just about anything you can think of, and it also means you can use Collide with devices that don't have MDM. Your Linux fleet is an example I like to make all the time. This is one I fought with constantly, contractor devices. Contractor devices that want to come on and get on the network. Maybe they got something to do. And now it's also BYOD, you know, phone, tablets, Chromebooks, all the different devices people might bring. Even Steam Decks. it's something I've seen. Even Steam Decks. And Collide can help you have a secure posture against that. And also build checks that you need. So go check it out. Now that Collide's part of 1Password, they're just getting better. And it's pretty powerful stuff. Support the show and go to collide.com/unplugged. That's KOLIDE.com/unplugged. Go watch the demo and see how they make it all work. It's pretty great. That's collide.com/unplugged.
Well, we've all been traveling quite a bit recently, as you know, and well, you boys and me as well. We have some traveling coming up. That got me reflecting, Chris, how you and I on the way to Texas, well, and on the way back as well, ended up watching some media on the plane on mute because we didn't have the right, I don't know, media setup. We watched some Anthony Bourdain, some Batman from the 60s, which was unique and great in its own way. But I think you have been reflecting on different ways to load media onto your tablet so that doesn't happen again.
So there must be a better way. Yeah, I think that's a pretty common scenario. These are one of the many scenarios I run into. I got this tablet. I want to get media onto it. I don't want to go through any of their damn hoops. I just want to get the files. Or another scenario might be I'm at work and I want to upload a file to my home server. And I could, you know, there's a lot of ways you could do that. I could do Tailscale Send. I could do Magic Wormhole. I could even Netcat over SSH, right? There's 1,000 ways to do it. And I just wanted something that was in my web browser. And I have played around with a couple of different apps for a long time, but the one I have always kept going back to is this one that is super sweet and tiny, nice design, clean, fast, and one file. It's called Tiny File Manager. Now, it is a file manager written in PHP that hasn't been updated for a while. Full disclaimer up front. And one of the things I love about this thing is, and don't do what I do, is you can use it without a password at all.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Oh, Wes. I only have it available on my tailnet.
Of course.
So what do I care?
Uh-huh.
If you get on my tailnet, you got full access and whatever. That's fine, I guess. And I guess I'm just It's really just pointed at my media directory. But the actually thing that's brilliant about it is you could really toss it anywhere. Now, you can also pull it in as a container, which is how I run this, and then you just pass the directories through that you want. It just needs PHP 5 and a web server to start it. It also has a little simple built-in code editor, so if you want to tweak files, like you could just point it at like your Etsy NixOS directory.
That's nice.
Could be kind of nice. It's open source. It's very lightweight. It works well on mobile devices.
Oh, I haven't tried it on a mobile device.
Well, and it works really well on the iPad. I've pulled down two, like, you know, 15 gigabyte MKV files right onto the old iPad. It is, you know, there's so many ways I've tried to crack that. I've tried, like, Plex's sync. I've tried Jellyfin stuff. I've tried, I've just tried, like, Netflix downloads. And so many ways to just try to get things offline, but I just want it on the file system, and then I'll just use VLC or whatever.
Yeah.
Just get it on my file system.
Especially for something like it's not really permanent. You're just like, I just want to grab some media. I'll have it available. I can pick as I'm going on the flight.
Right. And I want a couple of options, and I just want to get them downloaded over my LAN. And that's where this thing just comes in so handy. And you can get direct URLs. So I can like send the URL through, you know, Telegram, save messages, whatever, and tap it on the tablet and just open right up to the directory. So that works really nice. You can also do authentication if you want. You can have certain like whitelisted to only certain IPs. You can exclude certain things so that way you can hide certain stuff from the web version. It has all of that kind of stuff, and it even has support for user permissions. And
oh, wow.
You can compress and decompress. So if you want to make a zip file in the on the file system before you download it, like if you're mobile, you can do that kind of stuff as well. You can upload with what is what you know this thing's old because they call it an Ajax uploader. Remember that? But my favorite feature really is that you can throw it on there. You do have to go in and configure it a little bit because by default it has a username and password. But you can go in there, you can tweak the config, and there's no authorization required. And I'll link to a demo, but I don't know if you've tried it. But
yeah, I'm running it right now.
Isn't it surprisingly clean and fast?
Yeah, I like it.
It's a single...
It doesn't do a lot, but it does what it needs.
It's a single PHP file. And so because of that, it seems like it's pretty easy to make a flake.
Yeah, I did throw together a quick flake for it just so I could run it via Nix because, yeah, you kind of just need, like, whatever version of it. You have the PHP file, and then you need PHP to actually run it.
And a web server.
Well, that part's actually optional. You wouldn't probably want to deploy this in production, but it doesn't really sound like you're abiding by any of those rules anyway.
No.
So PHP can act as a little web server itself.
Oh, so, like, on the command line it can start?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
So I just had it write, like, a little script that, you know, at first it downloads the archive of whatever the last release was for Tiny File Manager, and then... uses PHP from Nix to run it. But you could also, obviously, with NixOS, like, turn that into a module that made a systemd service that ran a thing or
you could.
Properly configured Nginx as a reverse proxy to it or whatever.
But what I like is what you've kind of done is you've made this thing where you can issue a command and now you have this in a file in the directory you're working in.
Yeah, it just serves the...
current directory.
Uh-huh.
And so, boom, now this current directory with this one command is now available on the web through this PHP app.
Yeah, I used to do this kind of with a lot of languages have built-in web servers. Like Python's a common one people will do, just kind of like a standard module built-in. Ruby has one as well. And, you know, a lot of times you have that on your system anyway. And those work, but they're really just kind of a bare-bones sort of index.html style where you've got just like a listing of directory, you know, whatever's like in there, but not a lot of options, not direct link handy stuff, not a previewer, just as a bare-bones way to sort of just get a way to download it at all. But if this is as easy as one command...
Yeah.
Maybe I could just use that in this situation. Yeah. No problem.
It is really nice to run this over your media directory. And then, you know, for me, I have like subfolders for different types of media, TV, movies, you know, home movies, JB media. I have all these different subdirectories and I can put it at the root and get access to all of that through a web interface now. And it's often not what I need, but when I need it, it's so great, especially on the mobile devices. So I'm really glad it works so well on the mobile devices. You looked at a couple of other options, though, maybe some better, some worse.
Well, I compiled some lists of further lists, I suppose, as homework for anyone curious. This is the theme here is awesome web servers, awesome static web servers. There's a lot of options, Rust-based things, Go-based programs, as well as one-liners if you already have like a, you know, JavaScript or Perl or Python or Ruby. If you already have that loaded, a lot of those have a way to just run a web server for you really quick. And then I think even BusyBox has a web server built in, so that's another way to have at it. So if you're curious on all the ways people have kind of figured out alternatives.
Those are all pretty good. I'm a little disappointed in both you and I for not playing with the built-in Samba server that's now in the Linux kernel, thanks to Samsung. We got to do that one of these days.
We sure do.
I know Brent's been playing with a really handy utility because we just talked about it on self-hosted 122, so he goes into more details there, but we should mention it here, Brent.
Yeah, I've been playing recently with LocalSend as kind of a an experiment. I've been using KD Connect to solve this very problem that we're talking about, but LocalSend actually is really valuable here. Chris, I think you might try this. I know it's not as crazy and wacky as the solutions you came up with, but we did dive into it and self-hosted 1-2-2. It's basically an AirDrop replacement that's available on like all platforms, basically anything you can think of. Just has a great UI and a really nice workflow. So good for those of us who are a bit more techie, because there's a bunch of options that you can make available. But also, you know, if you're trying to share a file to your mom or something, it's also very, very user-friendly for folks like that. So give it a look, LocalSend.
LinuxUnplugged.com/membership. I want to see if we can't get the numbers up a little bit for the month of May. So I have a promo code. If you use the promo code MAY or you use the link that we'll have in the show notes, it'll take $3 off your membership. It applies to the Unplugged Core membership, the All Show Signal membership. You can get the bootleg or the ad-free version of the show. There is a limited amount of redemptions. So if you use the promo code MAY, there is 40 redemptions available out there. For new purchasers, existing members, or those of you that want to reactivate a subscription, use the promo code MAY. It'll take $3 a month off. That's a banger of a deal, but I thought maybe we could get the numbers up a little bit for spring. So head on over to linuxunplugged.com/membership. You get access to the bootleg version, which this week has a bunch of content in between the Arch server updates. It also has the pre-show, which goes for like almost 45, 50 minutes, which has full of stuff, including Brent's lizard fights with Tumbleweed.
Much, much fighting lizards.
My NixOS victory. And some background about some cool hacking I did over the weekend on my home system. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the members version that just doesn't make it in the main show. And you can get it for a great price right now. Take $3 a month off. I think it's like the lifetime of the account. I think that's what I said. I mean, that's just crazy. I never really do that, but I just thought maybe we could start spring off with a little bit of a boost. Because as you might have noticed, we only have one official sponsor in the show right now. So I'd love to make up some of that delta, as you were. So it's linuxunplugged.com/membership. And thank you to all of our members. We really appreciate you.
Now, Brandon L. reached out asking about Linux Unplugged listeners that want to meet up at SELF, Southeast Linux Fest, which is coming up pretty soon, I think. Alex and Noah are going to be there, and Noah tends to do something on Friday nights. I think he's going to confirm with us about plans, right, Chris, and let us know?
Yeah, I pinged him and said, hey, are you doing something? He said, yeah, we're usually pretty low-key about it, you know, dinner or whatever people want to do kind of afterwards. But he's going to look at maybe putting something together, so if I get a link to like a meetup or something, I'll update everybody. But if you're going to be at SELF, yeah, keep an eye out. Both Alex and Noah are going to be there. We've never been ourselves, but it does look like a great time.
Looks like SELF is happening June 7th to 9th at in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Boost to Gray.
Now, we got some boosts into the show, and things are moving quick here. Updated here as we're going. So Hovakin is our baller booster with 50,000 sats.
Hey, Rich Lobster!
You know, this one's been sitting in my craw all week because they agree with Brent. They say, I'm with Brent as a fellow Canadian. You can tell a lot from the pour of maple syrup.
Canadians unite. This is something we mentioned last Linux Unplugged when we were doing it live at Linux Fest Northwest. And you told a story about tricking me with some not maple syrup on one of our trips in the past. And so I had to get you back, and I'm rallying the crowds now.
Apparently. And you know what's funny is I've definitely lost your syrup trust because we went out to eat at some place called like the Bacon Cafe, which is great for Brent. And I tried to get him to try the syrup, and he just looked at it as I was pouring it on my pancake, and he just shook his head. He just refused.
It's all in the pour, Chris.
Okay.
Hybrid Sarcasm boosts in with 26,001.52 sets.
I hoard that which your kind covet.
Here's 5,001.52 sets. The message is, would you mind using the 561 members pre-show to break down the Nix drama? I want to hear the perspective of a trusted voice like yours.
Okay. All right. That's a consideration we could do. We could just do it there. I don't know if it really – yeah, that's what we've been trying to gauge. Is it something that we should cover in the main show, or is it something that we could just maybe do in the pre-show?
Hybrid also sent in just a quick 1,000 sats as a test, and then here's something special. 20,000 sats. I lost my glasses the other day. And guess who I bumped into?
Oh, who's that?
Everybody.
Oh, but I'm bumped.
Thanks, sarcasm.
Wait, that wasn't sarcastic. 412 Linux also boosted in 2 boosts with a total of 2,008 Satoshis.
Coming in hot with the boost!
My Sputnik laptop is still running strong. I have replaced the battery and fans. It's my remote rig. Such a great machine with no wind blows here.
You know, replacing the battery and the fan, if that is pretty a doable thing, might not be a bad idea because the laptop, I wouldn't say it's a screamer in performance. I mean, just running Firefox these days seems to be what kind of pushes it. But maybe if the fan was cooling it a little bit better, it wouldn't be struggling so much. I'm going to give that some consideration. I wonder if they still sell those. Thanks, 412.
Maybe it could be a new Notes PC.
Now, Chris, this is in reference to you pulling out your old Sputnik and using it recently, right?
Yeah, that was my rig for the Linux Fest stream and what I did the soundboarding from. And one of the things that I don't think we mentioned on air is we did make the decision sort of last minute to sacrifice my Notes PC to be the remote audio machine so we could stream audio to the Mumble Room and then in the future do two-way for like remote guests and stuff. And it was a tough decision, but the B-Link that Olympia Mike sent me is now gone to good use as it's our production remote host machine. And that means there is an opening for my Notes PC now.
Hey-o.
And you know that Sputnik does have a built-in keyboard. It's not great, but we also stole the keyboard from the Notes machine. So
wow, that thing got decimated.
It really is. It's rough, man. It's, hey, Linux Fest, it's a whirlwind, right? And sometimes you just got to grab and go. Otterbrain, thank you. You know what? That's a great suggestion, though, or at least a great idea, 412. I'll think about that. Otterbrain came in with 7,222 sats. I think one of those is a row of ducks. They write, my first Linux box, I was dubbing, oh boy, a Mac Power PC circa 1998 in Yellow Dog Linux. So scary. And a blessing the Mac OS 9 Mac bootloader was. Those are good times. I miss Yellow Dog.
Trom comes in with 10,000 sats. Pew, pew, pew. Talking about Linux Fest, bummed I couldn't make it due to a work migration, but I'm another Slackware on my first device.
There they are.
Way back in 94, a fellow grad student introduced me to Slack, and I started using it for my math modeling in C instead of waiting for room on the Sun boxes. Linux has been my primary ever since, and now on Nix and absolutely loving it. Looking at moving my Podman containers to it on my homeland now, too. Thanks for all the great shows.
Wow. I love that, Trom. You know, Wes, are you surprised by how much more Podman we're hearing at all? I mean, to me, it seems like, I feel like we heard Podman brought up multiple times at Linux Fest Northwest. Trom's here saying they're going to Podman. Specifically, too, with the Nix crowd, I feel like I'm hearing a lot of Podman.
Well, you know, I mean, Nix and Systemd go so well together. And then, of course, Systemd and Podman go so well together. So, you know, You kind of have nice, separate, composable pieces you can string together yourself.
I think you're right. I think that's what it is.
Mentat sent in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Satoshis.
So the combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the stupidest combination I ever heard in my life.
Hi, guys. Saturday was my first time at Linux Fest Northwest, and it was great. Just wanted to say thanks for the barbecue and all you did to get the fest happening this year.
Well, that's really neat to hear. Thanks for following up, Minitat, and I hope we got a chance to say hi. And people should always introduce with their boosting or Matrix channel name or whatever they use, your Twitter or Noster handle. Like, you gotta give us your online handle, too. The barbecue was a whirlwind, wasn't it?
I was really impressed with folks. I mean, yeah, it was raining a bit sideways at times.
Yeah.
Big gusts, people getting dumped on from, you know, rain kept getting on roofs and stuff. But the barbecue kept on barbecuing.
We had just enough tents to cover up the cooking area. Everybody else is in the rain, but we just, you know, just did it with a smile. It wasn't so bad. It's good to see you, Minitat. Vate comes in with 2,000 sats.
Boost!
And says, nothing but fire. All fire. And thank you, using Fountain. Thanks, Vake. Appreciate it.
Torped boosts in with 5,150 sats.
Coming in hot with the boost.
Boost in via Podverse. The image of you recording at Linux Fest Northwest on the Matrix server looked like a photo of a Unix users group from some college campus back in the 80s. Two times as many keyboards as humans in the room and enough cables, copper starts to pick up the local UHF.
I hope so. You know, it's Linux Fest was started by the Bellingham Linux users group originally 20 years ago, and it's at a technical college. And we were in one of the labs where the Raspberry Pi community
is. The Pi lab, yeah.
And there's keyboards and screens everywhere and everybody's desks. And it's very much like a classroom session. Good for lectures, not so great for a live show. But I don't know. It kind of worked for us, too, at the same time. We had good Wi-Fi and good Ethernet. And, I mean, the acoustics were better than probably the Expo Hall floor.
Made it happen.
Yeah.
We probably had one of the best techs experience, like techs for each talk, just solving problems and stuff like that. Everybody was really knowledgeable and made things go really smoothly. So thanks to those who helped out.
I would say 45, 50 people maybe in the room, maybe. I'm not sure how many people it was.
But a good-sized turnout.
Yeah.
It was fun to have a live audience.
Yeah, it was. It was.
So thank you all who can make it.
Yeah. Let's do it again sometime, eh? Let's do it again sometime. Zakatak comes in with 2,600 sats. Well, I would have been using Linux longer if my first Linux machine didn't have a Win modem.
Oh, no.
Dial-up internet and garbage monitor as well. Either way, it was a Pentium 1 with 80 megs of RAM, and I was dual-booting Windows 98 SE and Linux for Windows, which was just Mandrake Linux 6.5 that then saved itself into a Linux sys.image file.
Neat.
I still have that box. All the disks, the manuals, and the computer. One of these days, I should get it going again. Yes. There we go. I co-sign that. And if you do, please let us know. Man, that's such a treat. You really should. To have all that stuff still there, you need the monitor, too. Because you need a good classic VGA experience.
VT52 boosts in with a double row of ducks.
I am programmed in multiple techniques.
That's two ducks, but only one message. No matter how you feel about the recent Nix governance issues, I have a hard time seeing this as anything other than a good thing. And then links us to a discourse post, discourse.nixos.org, talking about Ilko stepping down and other recent updates.
Yeah, Ilko being the co-founder of NixOS, he wrote the paper way back forever ago at the start and has made a change in his position. Thank you, VT52, for sending that in. Vamax.
Do we count that as a
Vote for
as a plus for coverage?
I think so. Yeah, okay. I think we should. I think that's a good idea. I'm going to take this one because I love a good Spaceballs boost. Vamax comes in with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sats.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yes.
That's amazing. I've got the same combination on my luggage.
There, my first Linux box experience was an old HP server I bought from Campus Surplus. Oh, remember Campus Surplus? And then here, too, I don't know if it's still a thing, but we used to have Boeing Surplus.
Oh.
Is that still a thing here?
I don't know.
Tons of old computers
fun.
There. Oh, yeah. Some great boxes for schools and stuff. Vamax goes on to say, I was determined to install Arch on my own. A term I had heard was cooler nerds mention it. There was some kind of hard lock on the BIOS preventing booting from USB, though,
oh,
I had to beg someone to burn an Arch CD for me. It took me over a month to get Nextcloud running. It absorbed so much of my time that I effectively ended my first relationship. So for sentimental reasons, I've kept it in my cluster.
Aww.
Wow, really?
Thanks for the story.
Wow, Vamax. Imagine getting in trouble with your girlfriend, too, because you arched too hard. That's that's probably a thing people have done, right? That's, you know what? It's me or the computer. All right. Well, there's the door.
It's like that Tom Paris ship episode.
You're right. Yeah, where he falls in love with the ship in his head. And B'Elanna gets upset about it.
Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Josh the Techie boosted in 2,000 sats through Fountain.
Tough little ship. Little.
My first Linux machine was a Dell netbook back in 2011. It featured an Intel Atom processor at 4 gigs of memory. If my memory is correct, it was running Fedora 14 with the GNOME 2 desktop environment. These days, I daily drive an M1 MacBook Air, but I have Ubuntu server on a 2011 Mac Mini to run my humble little home lab. I plan on building a new gaming rig later this year and planning to put NixOS on it because I love that immutability.
Very nice. You know, I think that's probably the first machine I was like regularly, like really using Linux on as like a daily driver all the time. Basically never had Windows, was one of those old netbooks. I don't think it was quite an Atom, but little Acer machine, super portable. The netbook thing was kind of fun. No second best boost in, 10,000 sats.
B-O-O-S-T!
Oh, and FYI, you can boost from the Fountain.fm website now.
Oh, yes, new feature. You don't have to have a Fountain account or use the Fountain app. You can have any app that supports Lightning, Coinbase, Strike, Cash, Cash App, Breeze, anything that just supports the QR code scanning, you can boost now from the Fountain FM website. We'll put a link in the show notes for that. You just got to go find Linux Unplugged on the Fountain FM website, and you can boost and participate in the boost without having to switch podcast apps. And then later on, if you want to get a Fountain account, you can participate in the live chat. You could then move to Fountain one day if you wanted to or not. But you can boost now from the Fountain FM website. Magnolia Mayhem comes in with 9,876 sats.
It's over 9,000!
My first Linux experience was at Fort Leonard Wood as one of about 10 airmen training with the Army back around 09. I bought my first laptop, the PX3, and it was immediately frustrating with its inability to push and run. Oh, its inability to run Photosynth. I decided that it was the only thing I needed Windows for, so I borrowed a blank CD from one of the soldiers and I put Ubuntu on it. Didn't do much for the super nerdy images the soldiers had of airmen, but I never really cared anyways. I love the idea of like the sneaker net there too. You got to get that blank CD. And so many blank CDs I had back in the day trying different things at different distros. What is Photosynth? It rings a bell. Do you remember Photosynth?
It does sound familiar.
A discontinued app from Microsoft Live Labs and the University of Washington that analyzed digital photographs.
Generates a three-dimensional model of the photos. Oh, and a point cloud of a photographed object.
That does seem like a cool app. What a weird thing for Microsoft to be involved in, right? We also had 9,700 sats from User64. Thank you both, Magnolia and User64, for those over 9,000 boosts.
Sam H. boosts in with a row of ducks. I like a lot about Fountain, and context here, Sam H. is boosting from Fountain, but I've only been trying it with a couple of podcasts because it's hard to use in the car. I'm on a Pixel 8 stock Android. It doesn't go into landscape mode, and the audio doesn't pause for navigation, just lowers volume. So I frequently miss things. Please let me know if there are any settings that maybe I've just missed.
What is that about some apps that pause the nav and some apps only get dipped by the audio? Is it like an API thing? What is that, you know?
Yeah, maybe. It kind of seems like it, huh? Is there like a priority or an option you can set anywhere?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good question. It's funny how many things are very specific and unique to how we use our podcast apps. I personally don't want it to go into landscape mode. I want to be able to turn my phone and not have to rearrange the UI. I just sometimes need to turn my phone. So it's funny how that kind of works.
But other people have totally different workflows.
Yeah. I also have orientation lock on typically all the time. Do you?
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare I want landscape. And if then, it's sort of like a video thing where it overrides.
Brent, do you roll with orientation lock on?
Oh, always. I can't stand the flippy flip. Huh. And anytime someone hands me their phone that has the flippy flip, I'm lost.
So are you telling me there's just animals out there in our audience walking around with orientation lock turned off?
Yeah.
Huh. Boost in and tell animals. Me if you're locked or unlocked on your orientation. I will, though, Sam H., just bring it up in my conversations with Fountain about the audio when you have nav. That's a good question. I don't really know how that works. And even if I can't get anything changed, I could at least maybe get an answer as to why it works the way it is. Because the way it is, right?
That's the way it is.
That is the way it is. Thank you, everybody who boosted into the program. We have the 2,000 sat cutoff for time, but we really appreciate everybody who boosted. And we had 19 boosters this week. That's not bad at all, gentlemen. Not bad at all. And we stacked 169,113 sats. Not bad. You know, a little bit better than I was expecting for Linux Fest. Because they're not high signal shows, in my opinion. We really enjoy them. It's a great opportunity to connect with our community, and we hope it gives you a snapshot of what these events can be like, and I hope there's value there. But it's not, you know, you're not walking away with some new thing you're going to really take.
It's a different show. It's almost like a sub show.
Like, what's it say? It's like a new arrow for your quiver. Is that?
Sure.
Can you do that? Is that right? Yeah. But I really appreciate it because we are in kind of an ad winter, still a prolonged one, and things are not necessarily looking better for the next several quarters. And this is a way where we can continue to produce the show, and you can support each episode by boosting in with the new podcast app.
It's also kind of great because even if, you know, let's say the boost amounts are a little lower, the conversation keeps happening.
And I really enjoy this part of the show. It's, for us, it's part where we actually kind of get to unwind and just have kind of an improv moment, especially after a stressful show like this one. I'm still worked up. From that, I tell you, when that server reboots, Wes, and I start thinking it's not coming back up each time, it gets me all stressed out.
Is that the only reason we do it twice a year?
Yeah, maybe. And also, you can boost from the Fountain website now, if you prefer, and not switch apps. But go to new podcast apps, check out some of the new podcasting 2.0 apps. More and more shows are live streaming inside the app right now. So there's just so much good stuff over there. Go check it out at podcastapps.com. Our pick this week is really in line with talking about remote file management. And this one is purpose-built for just serving up audio files. It's called AudioServe, and it's written in Rust. A simple personal server that will serve up the audio files, whatever they might be, FLAX, audiobooks, MP3s, M4Bs, whatever you might have in there with a decent folder structure. And this is much like Tiny File Manager and some of the other things we were talking about, but this one is specifically built just to make it easy for you to listen to audio inside a web browser app experience or whatever it might be on your phone or on your, you know, your desktop.
You know, I've kind of abused Jellyfin for this before in the past, but this sounds probably even a little more lightweight and quicker.
It is, and they do have an API, so there's some third-party clients out there that support it. It's really easy to get running in a container. And there is an Android client. It's available on GitHub. I don't think it's in the Play Store. I don't know if it's actively maintained. You don't really need it. The idea is, though, is you just sit this over, if you got a directory with MP3s in it or a directory with audiobooks, and you don't need anything more than just something that can browse the directory and then is built to play that audio. So handy for that. And, of course, because it's a little Rust app, it runs quick. There's not a lot of dependencies. So it's AudioServe. And then also I wanted to just mention that officially the NeoFetch developer, after kind of fading for quite a while, the NeoFetch developer has decided they're retiring. I think their last update was bought a farm. and then they're just kind of done. There are a lot of great alternatives, though, to NeoFetch. If you're not familiar, it's a terminal app you can run that displays like information about your distro, your hardware, and all that kind of stuff. People love to post it on Reddit for showing off their setups. But it also is just really handy to get a snapshot of what your system is doing. FastFetch is probably one of my favorites that you can get. But I'll link to an itsfoss.com article that covers like 7 alternatives to NeoFetch.
Maybe folks go try them all out and then boost in which ones you like the best.
Yeah.
We can have a little competition. I don't know.
Tell us which ones work best. Speaking of boosting, don't forget, we do want to get your idea of the Knicks community coverage. Again, I might classify it kind of as drama, but I also don't want you guys thinking we're avoiding the topic either. So I would be also happy to hear just cover it in the members. We don't need to put it in the main show. Depending on your boost this week, we'll decide how much we cover it and where we cover it. So do let us know. We'll be factoring that in for next week's episode. Also, it's going to be Slackware week next week, so you can boost in your Slackware stories or email us at linuxunplugged.com/contact. We want the good ones and the bad ones for Slackware week.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.
We will be live, just getting back from Denver at the Red Hat Summit. Wes and I will have stories to share Sunday at 12 Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, why we're switching all the servers from Nix over to RHEL.
Yeah. Hybrid cloud, baby. And of course, we'll then have it released for you later that day in the RSS feed, which you can find at linuxunplugged.com/RSS. Links to what we talked about today are at linuxunplugged.com/561. You'll find our previous episodes there, links, memberships, all that. Matrix info, Mumble Room info, you name it. We got hyperlinks over there. You're going to just think it's fantastic. linuxunplugged.com/561. Thanks for being here. See you next Tuesday, as in Sunday.